There you go. I try to keep you safely in between the lines. I try to put you in the box that I've designed. I try to pull you down so we are out tonight. When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I try to take a life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been
morning. Good morning. Best family, friends, neighbors, my brothers and sisters and people of God. It's good again to be together on another Lord's Day morning and for our podcast. And we're so delighted that all of you that are coming in to join us this morning. So we certainly appreciate you taking time out. Amen. And doing what believers do on Sunday morning, gather themselves the best way they can. Amen. And that we might worship and praise and give God the glory that's due to him, because he's certainly worthy of everything, all of our praises and adoration and everything that we can bring. Amen. To this gathering this morning. We're going to begin this morning, since this is the morning we usually designate as Youth and Children's Day. And Gabriella is going to come and give us our prayer today. Okay, I see her checking in. Let me bring her on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. All right, Gabby, you can give us our prayer for this.
Okay. God, we come to you, first of all, thanking you for another day, God. We know that as we are still in a pandemic and as there are dangerous things going on in this world, God, that another day is definitely a blessing, God. And we just thank you for another day, God. And we thank you for everything you have been doing with our church, Father God. And we thank you in advance for everything that you will do, Lord God. And we just thank you, God, most of all, for being who you are, God, for being so loving and being so forgiving, Father God. And God, as we enter our service today, God, I ask that we will be able to hear you clearly, Lord, that you will remove all distractions, Father God, anything that might hinder us from hearing what you have to say to us, Father God. We ask that you remove it, God, and just prepare our hearts to be able to receive a good word, God. And for anyone who might be grieving right now or going through something, God, I ask that you would comfort them, God, and just love on them like only you can, God, because no one can love on them better than you can, God. And as we just enter this service, Father God, I ask that as we leave, God, that this would be a service and a word that we use in the rest of our lives, God, that we continuously apply, God, that we wouldn't just leave this service and not think about anything that was said, God, so we can be doers of your word and not merely hearers, God. And I just ask that you would continue to grow our church, Father God, and as far as our youth, that we would step out of our comfort zones and do anything we need to do to get more involved in the church, Father God, and that you would really use us, Father God, and allow us to listen to the elders, Father God, and get wisdom from them, God, and be willing to listen to them, God. And I just ask again that you prepare our hearts, Father God, to hear a great word, Lord God, and that you would be able to let us understand it, Father God, help all the technology and everything to stay clear, Father God, so we can truly understand the word you have for us today, Father God. Speak through Pastor Williams, God, and just bring a mighty word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank Gabriella for her prayer this morning and leading us to God in prayer and blessing this time together. We so appreciate her. Now let's get into the word for this morning found in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5. Joshua, the book of Joshua chapter 5. And we want to look at just three verses, verses 13 through verse 15, verses 13 through verses 15. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 is our text for this morning. When you find it, it reads, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, No. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. We ask a blessing to the readers and to the those that are sharing and reading and hearing of God's word. And we know that we shall all follow it up in obedience to Christ. Listen, I want to talk this morning from the subject or the title, On Your Mark. On Your Marks. On Your Marks. Amen. If you heard that, if you've been at a track meet or saw a track meet on television, or you've been involved in track and field in any way, you know that's what is usually said as the race begins. Amen. On your mark means that you're prepared to begin the race by being in the correct starting position. I don't want you to miss that. Let me just share that again, and the definition. Make sure I read it right, and we can all hear it, because that's an important part of it. To be on your marks is to be prepared to begin the race by being in the correct starting position. And that's kind of what we want to talk about this morning as the people of God, as we begin the particular race that God has set forth for us to run. How can we be sure that we are on our marks and in the correct position to start our race? That's what we want to talk about. Now, just look at the text. We're going to spend some time in the text this morning. If you look at, we only have three verses, but the three verses are kind of packed with stuff. Now, the context is, the context of this passage is that Joshua and the children of Israel are finally on the brink of getting what God had promised them, of going in and being able to enjoy what the promised land offered. In order to have the victory, there was going to be a battle or a race or a challenge for them. And God had already promised them in the earlier chapters of Joshua. You may want to read the earlier chapters of Joshua. Most of us are familiar with Joshua. We preached from here before, for those of you that are members of the Beth, and recently. And the key thing was God had already promised, really God had promised them the land over 40 years ago. But because of a lack of faith, they didn't enter it. But now, Joshua, having received the baton of leadership from Moses, had crossed over Jordan, and they are ready and prepared to go and possess that which God has assigned them to possess and has already given to them. But in these verses, we're going to see how to get off to a good start, or even more particularly, how to be in the correct position to start this race. Listen. Joshua, there are in Gilgal, and they're a place where they meet with God. They don't go just straight into Jericho. They're praying and spending time with God. God has not told them what they must do to enter yet. As they are spending time with God, and some of them probably may have been getting anxious or ready to go into that promised land after all the 40 years, but God needs to reestablish a relationship with them. God needs to spend some time with them because he's going to do a work through them. And before God can do a work through you, he has to do a work in you. So he had to spend time with them at Gilgal and other places before they actually enter into the promised land, because it's in that time that he spends with them that he does a work in them so he can do a work through them and the conquering and entering of the promised land where they possess all that God has for them. So a lot of times, my brothers and sisters, in pursuing the race that God has for us and in claiming all the promises that he has for us, there is a waiting period that he uses to establish an intimate relationship with us and to do a work in us so he can do a work through us. Now, as that was, God was doing that, we see Joshua. I don't know if he was just out around doing reconnaissance and checking out the wall and wondering how they were going to enter or what God had in mind. I don't know if he was out just praying and spending time with God, but as he was out alone, and sometimes you have to get alone to hear from God, as he was out alone wondering and probably observing, he raised his head. That's why I think he may have been in prayer. He raised his head and he saw a man that stood opposite him. And the strange thing, this man had a sword that was drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Who, in other words, Joshua asked the man, "Whose side are you on?" And this stranger, this man, gives a peculiar answer. He said, "No." Well, wait a minute. It wasn't a yes, no answer. Joshua asked, "Whose side were you on? Are you on our side, or are you on the side of the adversaries, the one that are against us?" And the man says, "No, I'm not on either side. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." In other words, Joshua, I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over. And sometimes that's what God wants us to know. When we are asking God to choose, God says, No. I'm not here to bargain with you, but I'm in here to take over. I'm in here to take over your life. I want to be the king of your life. I don't want you to give me alternatives. I don't want you to give me directions. I'm not here to support your cause, but I'm here not to choose. I come not to take sides, but I come to take over. I'm the king of this thing. And really, when we look at this passage, and you look down the next verses, he said, "I'm the commander of the army of the Lord." In other words, I'm in charge of all the angels, of all of God's heavenly army. I'm in charge of that. And then Joshua realized, I think, who he was actually talking to. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" The fact that Joshua fell down, amen, and worshiped him and said, "What does the Lord say to my servant?" I think at this time, Joshua may have realized realize that this was what we call a theophany, or an appearance of God before Christ. Amen. This is God appearing in a human form to interact with someone. And that's why we see Joshua falling down and say, Lord, what does my Lord say to his servants? Okay, I see that you didn't come to take a side, but you came to take charge. So he bows down and says, Lord, you're in charge. What do you want me, your servant, to do? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Now, if Joshua realized, this is even stronger a sign of who this is, because if Joshua probably had heard the story from Moses, how God called him. And Moses, God called Moses in the burning bush, and at the presence of God was in the burning bush. And Moses went to the bush because it was a strange thing, because the bush was burning, but it didn't burn up. It didn't ever burn up. And he realized as he walked forth, God spoke to him from the bush, and God says, take off your shoes, because you're on holy ground. That holy ground is the place where you have an encounter with God. Whenever you encounter God, you're on holy ground. Whenever you encounter God, you're not on your own ground. You're on his ground. Amen. You are his subject. You're subject to him now. Because why is it you're on holy ground? Take off your shoes. Amen. Take off your shoes, because taking off of the shoes in this society meant that, amen, you were submitting and you didn't own this ground. God owned this ground. That's why when a slave was working, or you was a slave, you didn't wear shoes. If you remember the prodigal son, when he came back, he didn't have no shoes because he had been on somebody else's property. But when he got back to his daddy's property, his dad said, bring the shoes. Amen. Because that was his father's land. So God said, now you're on God. Joshua, I need you to know now what I'm going to tell you. This is going to be about all about you being a servant, and it's going to be on my grounds, not on your ground. Take off your shoe, because now you on holy ground. Whenever you have an encounter with God, you're standing on holy ground. God said, I'm not here. I'm not here to take sides, and I'm not here to take over. Now, and at this point, Joshua's idea that there's something for us to learn here, especially leaders. If you're a leader, and you are a leader, if you influence anybody, if you're a parent and you influence your children, if you're a leader on your job, you have, even if you have influence with your friend, in some way you are a leader. Now, what this teaches leaders, especially if you're in a leadership position, you're in a position of authority, a true leader is not, listen carefully, a true leader is not one that's just in authority, are not one in authority, but one under authority. Joshua now is under God's authority. God is the king. God is the shot caller in Joshua's situation. Now, every leader of the people of God, if you're a leader and you're a person, a follower of Christ, and you're amongst the people of God, you got to realize that being a leader means not just you're in authority, but that you're under God's authority. Don't miss that, because sometimes when we get positions, we'll think we're the one in authority, and we forget that we're the one under authority. And therefore, when we'll take our, listen here, We'll try to do what we thank God want us to do, but we'll do it according to our agenda. That's why I think he had to straighten, get Joshua straightened out right here. Joshua said, whose side? Are you on our side? You on their side? He said, wait a minute, Joshua. Number one, I'm in charge. I'm gonna take that. I take charge. I take over. And when I take over on this holy ground, you got to take off your shoe, but don't only take off your shoe, but you got to take off your agenda. You got to take off your fear. You got to take off, amen, everything that's going to disqualify you from reaching it. So there's a lot of things, Joshua, I need you to take off. And if you're going to follow me, because I'm in charge now. I'm the one in authority. Every person is a follower of God. God is our ultimate authority for every husband, for every parent. For if you are follow God, he don't think you're the one in charge. Yes, I think, I know you as a husband, you think, oh, I'm the one in charge of my household. But it's really God. It's really God's household. You're under God. Amen. You're under God. Pastor, every pastor is under God. They are, amen. They're not the number one head shepherd. Mm-mm. They're the under shepherd. God's in charge. God is in charge. So that was the thing. God removed Joshua from the paw of being in authority and made it more, making it say, I don't want you to be in authority, because if you're in authority, you'll try to depend on Joshua. But I want you under authority. Because when you're under authority, Joshua, you realize that the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. I'm regret. I got my sword. The battle is mine. All you got to do is what I ask you to do, what I tell you to do. I'm the one that's in charge of the battle. The battle is the Lord's and not ours. My brothers and sisters, when you're trying to accomplish, amen, and run the race that God has particularly chosen you for, you got to realize if you're going to be a victor and have victory in that race, that it's about God and it's not about you. You can't do it on your own. You have to be dependent on God. God was always concerned about that with Israel when they got in the promised land. He was concerned, and now that they could get their own water and they were blessed and they was in the land of plenty. God was concerned because God knows human beings, and a lot of times when they can do for themselves, they forget about who brought them. It's not like in the wilderness. In the wilderness, amen, they had to depend on God for manna, for water. Shoes didn't wear out. They had to depend on God for healing and look up at the snake that was on the brazen pole. They had to depend on God. But now he said, when you get in that land that I'm going to bless you with and you get blessings, don't forget about me. Because a lot of times when we get to the place where God has promised us and God blesses us and God prospers us, we forget about who's blessing and prospering us. So Joshua, I want you to get started right. That's why I'm saying on the mark. Joshua, I want you to lead the people. People going to look to you. They're going to look to you when they talk about entering and how to live in this promised land. And I need you to show them as a leader that when you get to the promised land and you're enjoying the promises, don't forget who made the promise and who allowed you to experience the promise. I need you to be on your mark. I need you to be in the right position. And to be in the right position means that you're under my authority, that you realize that I'm the king of your life, and you realize the battle is mine. When you begin the race with that mentality, then we can get the victory, Joshua. But you got to get started. So on your marks, Joshua, you in the correct position now to enjoy the victory that's in the promised land. On your marks. Now, the thing about this is as you pursue God's calling, God's promises, God's plan for your life, we all will have Jericho. Do you hear me? As you pursue the promises, plans, program of God, you're going to run into Jerichos. And often, a lot of times, the Jericho is going to be more than you can do on your own. God always seems to put his promises on the other side of Jericho. So if Jericho causes fear, you'll never reach the promises. But the key to overcoming any challenge, any Jericho challenge, the key is to have faith and realize, yes, it's a challenge. It's an overwhelming challenge. It's a challenge that you cannot have victory in unless you realize the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. How many times have we ran up against Jericho and then we back down and we never got to experience the blessing of what God had for us because we allowed fear to intimidate us. And what God wants us to experience, we never got to experience it. So today God says to us, and God is saying to us, hey, have faith. Have faith. Because did you not, this battle ain't about you. Winning or losing this battle ain't about you. It's about me. And there's no Jericho that's going to come in your life. There's no wall that I can't bring down. That's why I want you to believe in me. So that's the position, my brothers and sisters, that God wants us to be in. That's the correct position to start as we go toward getting those things that God has promised us, fulfilling God's plan and purpose for our lives. It begins by getting ready for the race and being in the correct position. And the correct position is under God's authority with realizing that God is the one fighting the battle. And we are just following his direction. And I don't have to tell you the story. Y'all already know the story, how the walls came down. Because Joshua simply followed the Lord's direction. And it's just, if he did it for Joshua, he'll do it for you. So the first thing says, on your mark. That's the first thing I want to tell you. Because, listen, because I'm going to my second point now. Unless we're on our mark, we'll never be able to make our mark. I'm gonna let you just think about that a second. Unless we're on our mark and in the correct starting position, we'll never be able to make our mark. What do you mean, Pastor, by make our mark? We'll never be able to have that significant impact on something or someone that God created us for. He created us to impact our world in a specific way. We are unique, and he made you for a unique task in impacting your world. Impacting somebody or something, your purpose, his plan for you, why he put you on the planet. If you accomplish why he put you on the planet and make the impact that he had designed for you to make, then you make your mark, but we can't make our mark unless we are on our mark. Being on our mark gives us the correct position to start in making our mark. God put all of us on the planet to do something. All of us have an opportunity to make our mark. JJ Hutchinson has an opportunity. Jordan Hutchinson and Jamaica, all of them have an opportunity to make their mark. Little BJ, she has an opportunity to make her mark. Gabriella and Jordan Carlos's niece has an opportunity to make her mark. Zizi and Billy and little Maya, my niece, and Jade and Tatum and London and Alexis, they all have an opportunity. I'm saying all of them because it's Youth Day, and as youth, they all will have an opportunity during their lifetime to make their mark. But in order for them to make their mark, they have to be on their mark. So parents, you need to be an example. Church leaders, you need to be an example by being on your mark. We set the mark for those that's coming behind us. But you got to be on your marks in order to make a mark. Let me give you some examples of some people that were on their mark. There's a young man, I think his name is Jaquale Jackson. I think he's about 14 or 15. And Jaquale, he was on his mark. He realized that God had something for him to do. And he started Project I Am, which is an organization geared to build awareness of homelessness and inspire youth to get involved in creating ways to help the homeless and the needy. Now, he himself and those that work with him taking that leadership role, but it's a leadership under God's authority, he has been able to deliver 20,000 blessing bags to the homeless and the needy. Why? I think God just put him here. At that age, to have done what he done, there's something that God put in him. God did a work in him that can allow a young man 14, 15 years old, and he's able to go and prepare blessing bags and have them distributed to over 20,000 homeless people. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When you're on your mark, you can make your mark. Now, there's another young man. He was 11 years old. 11 years old. And he heard a news report one day. His name is Bishop Carey. He heard a news report one day where, like, unfortunately happened from time to time. It was in the heat of the summer. And a parent had accidentally left their child in a car. And a 6-month-old baby was left in a hot car and died. And he heard that on the news, and he was angry about it. He was angry that that had to happen because he had also a sibling that was 6 months old. I think it was his sister. And he realized that could have been his sister. But I'm glad he was angry about it, but he was genius enough to realize anger don't mean you lash out at somebody, but anger means there's a problem that you need to solve. And this young man at 11 years old took out and sketched a picture of a device that he could make in order to save another child from going through this same experience. Can you imagine that? 11 years old. What he created was the Oasis. The Oasis is the little box that he created. And what this little box does, and his daddy worked for Toyota, so his daddy kind of helped him. And he made a little box, and the little box blows out cool air. Now, you attach it to the baby's seat, and if the car is not moving, because it can sense if the car is not moving, it can sense if it's a baby, because the baby moves, and it senses that movement, and it senses the amount of heat in the car. And when, after a certain amount of time, if there's movement and the car is hot, it's getting hot and the temperature is going up, and it senses there's a baby there, it sends a signal to cut on the fan. Not only does it cut on the fan, but it contacts the parents and the authorities saying that there's a baby in the car and telling them where the car is. 11-year-old. And he came up with this Oasis. And then not only did he come up with the invention, but then God blessed him with a way to finance it. You understand what I'm saying? The fact that he had, when I thought about his story, I thought about Nehemiah. When something burdens you so much and brings you to tears and emotionally throws you off so much that you have to do something about it. And that's when I looked at Little Bishop, that's what I see in him. It bothered him so much to see that, to hear about that child dying, that he came up with a sketch, and the sketch led to an invention. He got funding, and now, amen, working with Toyota and some other manufacturers, pretty soon, hopefully that invention will be out. Oh, and this is a young man at 11, now he's 13, and it's getting closer and closer to the time when this invention will soon. He had to get all the legal rights, and he got his patent now. A patent. You have a patent for it. You're 11 or 12 years old. I'm saying, amen. Now, the funding probably was a Jericho, but he did not let not having funding stop him. And then he was able to get funding. Don't let Jericho stop you. And then we all know that young lady that we heard, Amanda Gorman, the American poet and activist, whose name National Youth Poet Laureate, who wrote a book when she was 17, says, "The one for whom food is not enough." And then we heard her speech, "The Hill We Climb," that she spoke at President Biden's inauguration. I'm saying, I'm giving you these examples, young people, because these are similar to some of the purposes, the plans, and the promises that God may have for you. But I'm trying to say, in order for you to really, really come to a realization and an enjoyment, and to get all that God had for you, is so very important for you to start on your marks right. Start by being in the correct position and bringing your life under the lordship of Christ, having a Savior and having a God that you're willing to say, "Savior, Lord, let me be my leader and be what I need to be. I know you got a purpose for my life, a plan for my life, something for me to do. There are going to be obstacles. There are going to be Jericho. But I know the battle is not mine. It's the Lord. If I'm on my marks, I can make a mark." Oh, God is a good God. If you trust him, he'll take you places that you never thought you could go. Because you couldn't have made it on your own. But with God, nothing is impossible. Because he's a God that specializes in the impossible. And he'll take you places that you never thought that you could go. So if you're on your mark, you can make your mark. But not only that, when you're on your mark, you can make your mark. But not only do you make your mark, but you can leave your mark. See, now I'm saying you make your mark, but there's a difference between making your mark and leaving your mark. Making your mark is when you have impact and you do something, you do that thing that God has given to you to do, and it blesses you world, and it blesses someone or something. But now when you leave your mark means the impact that you had on that someone or something that caused a change in them, you leave it, and it has a lasting effect even when you're gone from the planet. That's legacy. Oh, that's why it's so important to start on your marks, because when you start on your mark, you can make your mark. And when you make your mark, it don't stop. Amen. When you leave this planet to go to be with the Lord, your mark can be lasting. It can still have impact long after God's purpose and plan for you is over. You can still have purpose, and it can last on and on and continue to impact the world. Can you imagine years from now, 50 years from now, the Lord that is coming, or longer, and that invention that Bishop Carey did about the baby is still, and how many babies it could save? Some things that we have today is because of so many inventors, a lot of African-American that are never talked about in history books, but their inventions are why we have many of the things that we have today, because God gave them the genius, and that genius allowed them to make their mark, and they left a mark in our world for us to enjoy until now. So that's what I'm telling you today. If you would get on your marks, get in the right position, ask God to be your Savior, be your Lord, give your life to Him. Say, Lord, I know you got a purpose for my life. You got a design. You put me in this world. I'm not here by accident. I'm here, God, because of providence. you knew I was going to be here. You knew that was something I had to do. You put me here by providence. I'm not here accidentally. I'm here providentially. So that means you have a purpose, a plan for my life. I want to be in the correct starting position. I want to be on my marks. Because one day, God, I know when I do that you follow your command. Live like you want me to live. Live like the Bible tells me to live. If I'm a prayerful person, God, if I'm open to you and willing to you and living for you, that you'll be the one fighting my battles, opening the doors, bringing down the walls to help me to do that you designed for me to do. And once I do that, God, it'll be so powerful and so impactful that it'll be not just my generation that I impact, but generations that come after me. God, don't settle for a small life. You were created for more. You were created for more. Say, God, I want everything you created me for. I don't want to cheat the world out of what you put me here for. So I give my life to you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my leader. I want you to be the one that's in charge, that takes over my life. Because I don't know what to do. But I know if I follow you, if I just pray and spend time and listen to you, and you'll speak to my heart. And when you want me to do something, it'll disturb me. You'll take my peace away until I can see what you want me to do. And then when I figure it out, you'll give me my peace back. You'll break my heart about something. I know, hey, I need to address that in some way. A message to young and old today, because you're never too old to get started again. Get on your marks. Get on your marks. Because when you start out correct, you can make a mark. And when you make a mark, you can leave a mark on your world. Jesus is our example of that. Jesus is our example of that. He came to be our Savior. Yes, he came to be our Savior. He submitted himself to his Father while he on earth. Did everything his Father asked him to do. Finally, he had to go to the cross. He asked his Father just to be God. If there's any way out of this, if there's any way around, let this cup pass from him. But then he came to say, realized that there wasn't no way around. So nevertheless, not my will. Because I'm submitted to your authority, but thy will be done. And he went to the cross. And on the cross, he died to pay for your sins and my sins. On that old rugged cross, he died, gave his life. And he took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to need it long. And 3 days later, on Sunday morning, our Lord Jesus the Christ rose. And that empty grave made a mark. He left a mark on the world with that empty grave. We know he rose. We know he died for our sins. But unlike all the others that died, he rose Sunday morning. He's a Savior. And that same Savior is alive today. And he's in heaven. And one of these days, he's coming back for us. He's coming back again. He's coming back again because he said he would. And I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. And the way you can be ready today, if you're not already ready, the way the pastor is going to tell you, whether you're young or old, the way you can get ready is get on your marks. Give God your life. Accept him as your Savior and Lord. Realize he died for your sins and you can put your trust in his payment for your sins. The fact that he paid for your sins and gave you his righteousness. And as soon as you accept him, he'll give you some power in your life. The Holy Spirit that help you become the person he wants you to be. Create a Christ-like character in you so you'll begin to become more and more like Christ as you follow him and spend time with him and be obedient to him. And the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. And then after he does a work in you, he wants to do a work through you. I don't know what that work is. You're going to have to talk to him about that. But the fact that you're here and alive, say, God got a plan for your life. God got a plan. Gabrielle is going to come now and bring us our song. I want you to think about what I said as that song is being sung. And if you haven't already made that decision, make that decision today. I'm going to do what I'm coming to God because he's in charge of my life. And if you made the decision, you've already asked him to be your Savior and your Lord. Maybe your decision today, say, Lord, I know you saved me and I know you're my Lord. Help me to live closer to you in a closer walk. But also, Lord, for those of you that don't know, ask him, okay, Lord, what's my purpose? What's your plan for me? I need to start knowing what you want me to do. So I can follow it and I can make my mark, not for me, but for you. Because I know when a person really makes the mark that you want to make, you get the glory. You become renowned. Your name become hallowed and you get lifted up. And it's all about your glory. So use my life to bring glory to yourself. Would you consider that as we listen to our song for today? Gathering this morning, we just want to kind of give you a few things. We know we have a couple of members that had death in their family. Ernest Jones, sister-in-law, and Jennifer, Victor. Victor Jones, I think. Let me see. Wait, hold on. I think I got that right. All right. callers. His cousin is sick, you say? Had a death in the family. All right. And Victor Jones' family, too. I think I'm getting that last name right, but y'all know Victor Jennifer's husband. We certainly want to be in prayer. I'll get that more specific. I was intending to write those names down more specifically. Sometime after the sermon, I forget most everything. But for those families, amen, the Jennifer and Victor Jones family and Ernie Jones family and Carla Hutchison's cousin's family. Let's be in prayer for all those families who lost loved ones. And also be in prayer for the family of the officer that was shot in our area. And because I don't know, hopefully he's still doing well and recuperating. And other person that was part of that incident, we don't know. Basically, we have updates on that, but we just pray for the community to be safe. And those that are part of providing that safety, God will be with them in making our community safe. So we thank y'all for that. And we're looking forward to having our Easter / homecoming morning service next Sunday morning. So we'll see everybody. It looks like we'll have the weather we need to be on the grounds. Last I heard, it's going to be about 74, which is a good temperature for us all to be out on the grounds, enjoying each other in the Lord. So also, if you know other churches who are other believers, the people of God, who church may not be having services because of the COVID situation, it may not have like the situation like us, but they can have it on the grounds. You can invite them to come and join us. Just remind them that we'll be reserving COVID protocols, and they can stay in their cars and be relatively safe, I think. We encourage you, all of you that can and will. We know you have to make up your mind. We're not going to try to convince you to do, but we encourage you to think about getting your immunizations, because more immunizations, we can build up an immunity, a community type of immunity, and be able to go back to the next, go forward to the next normal that God has for us, as for as assembly coming together again. If you weren't at the business meeting, beginning next month, we will be having three services, two outside on first and the third Sundays, and an inside service that's by reservation only on the inside on the second Sunday. So keep those things in mind. I think the Women's Bible Study is this coming Saturday. At what time, Cheryl? 6:30? At 6:30 this coming Saturday, the Women's Bible Study. And don't forget the Thursday night Bible study as they go through the entire Bible. That's at, I think, 6 on Thursday. All right, we want everybody to have a great week leading up to Easter. Try to be prayerful and get in the Word and get prepared and get in that Easter spirit. I'm hoping I'm not forgetting anything, but I certainly, let me see what this. Appreciate all of you that came in today. All right, I think this is everything. So thank you for being with us, and hope you have a great rest of your Lord's Day today, Sunday. Enjoy your Sunday and your week. Have a blessed week, and give God glory wherever you are, and let His presence be seen through you. Make His name renowned. Just let everybody know how great your God is, because people need to at least be able to see that there's a great God in times like these, when there's so many things that's going wrong. But even in the midst of when things are not going, a lot of things are going wrong, and look like a lot of wrong in our world, just knowing that there's a great God gives you a sense, more of a sense of peace and calmness, knowing there's a God that's working for our good. All right. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We're going to check out and just be blessed, and just pray for all of our youth, that they might be on their marks. Have a great day.